Yes. Well, this is exciting. Lovely to have family and friends of Josie who've come to support her this morning for this baptism occasion. Thank you for being here, and I trust you have a good time with us today. We have had one baptism already. When we took off the first block, there was a spider in there looking very dead and bedraggled, so I hooked him out, and he started running around. So I lifted him out and put him on here. So somewhere around here, there's a spider.
No, it went back in and she took it out.
It went back in again?
Yes.
He's desperate to be baptized. Anyone else want to come dive in the pond? Maybe it was his brother. But they're reunited anyway, which is great to know. We're going to be thinking this morning about a very familiar story in the Bible. But before we get there, let me show you this image here. These are some of the images off Lampedusa in Spain. These are the migrants making their way from a life that they feel to be intolerable, whether that's somewhere in sub-Saharan Africa where there's poverty of all imaginable kinds, or whether it's some of the war-torn areas like Syria and parts of Iraq and other areas. Whatever reason, these guys are trying to find a life because they don't have a life at the moment. That's you can see there's a boat there on the picture on your right. You can't actually see the boat, or very little of it. You can see the shape of the boat and the wake, but of course it's absolutely full of people. And the picture at the top there is these refugees reaching out for something. I don't know what they're reaching out for, whether it's water or whether it's food or whether it's just to be lifted out into a safe boat. I don't know what it's for, but these are folk who are desperate for something. And at the bottom there are folk who haven't made it. A desperate situation. I had a wonderful little program yesterday morning on World Service on the BBC. And it was about this gentleman here, who's Francisco. I was told how to pronounce his name in the first service.
Tuccio.
Who is a carpenter in Lampedusa. And he used to make all kinds of furniture and that kind of thing. He hasn't made furniture for some time, apparently, because he was really grieved by the state of these refugees. It's interesting, isn't it? Our media talks about how folk are so angry about all the refugees coming to their island, but actually it sounds like for many of them, it's much more these dreadful poor people who just need help. And he was really concerned because there were no media there at that point. Nobody was there taking any notice of what was happening. And he thought, what can I do as just a poor carpenter? What can I do? And he came up with this idea of making crosses from wrecked migrant boats. And there's apparently a yard full of these boats which have been wrecked, which have had holes pushed in them and that kind of thing, and they're on shore. And he goes and reclaims wood and makes crosses out of them. And he went to his local priest and he said to him, we've got this festival coming up. Can I make a cross for this festival and put it in the church and make this a focus for our festival to be praying for and thinking how we can care for these refugees? And that happened. And then he started getting invitations from all over Italy, asking for crosses to be made for different churches all over Italy, as the other churches said, we want to be behind this to try and get interest in these poor people. And then he got requests for smaller crosses. And eventually, he just got into this business of making lots and lots and lots of crosses. And he goes out with these crosses, and he gives them to refugees. And often, they don't know quite what to make of it because they're being given a cross, and maybe they haven't got a Christian background or whatever. And he explains to them, these crosses are made from wood from the boats you traveled in. And then they're very interested to take it. And he said, I say to them this. He gives them the cross and he says to them, I wish this cross would give you your dignity and the freedom just to live. I wish this cross would give you dignity and the freedom just to live. And my experience is, that's what Jesus gives. Through his cross, he gives us dignity and the freedom to live. And that's a great gift. And that's what I want to focus on this morning for a while. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." There are many, many ways in which people are robbed, they're killed, and they're destroyed. Maybe hopes are destroyed, lives are destroyed in many, many ways. For these refugees, very physical: war, starvation, need, pushed to the brink where they'll actually take the huge risk of trying to make it across the Mediterranean in a stupidly overcrowded boat. But for many others, maybe for some of us in our kind of culture, that we get pressed into molds. I've got to conform to this image. I've got to do that. I've got to get my wealth. We find that we chase all kinds of things, but there's that life, that fullness of life that we're missing, that God wants us to have, and that dignity in life that God wants us to have. And I want to be speaking about this, that Jesus wants to give us dignity and life to the full. There's a very famous story in the Bible, which is called the parable of the prodigal son, traditionally. And I did have a Bible, which I've left over here, that I need. And this story is, for any who don't know, you know it, I think many of you probably will know it, is a story about a family with a father and two sons. And Jesus is telling this story, that there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. So here's a young man who says, I don't want to wait until my father gets old and stops working, or maybe gets old and dies. I don't want to wait for that for my inheritance then. I want my inheritance now, so I can have it and I can do it with what I want. And his father does that. And I want to say this, there's a couple of important things that come out of that. That clearly this is a very loving father. He wants the best for us. But he actually gives us freedom. He gives us freedom. He gives freedom to make choices. In our tradition, we don't baptize infants. We baptize people when they're old enough to make their own decision, like Josie is. Frequently, people are older than Josie when they're baptized. Because it's just saying very, very visibly and very physically, actually, we want you to have the freedom to make your own choice, because God gives us that freedom to make our own choice. I should qualify that and say that a church like the Anglican Church, who baptize infants, they would say that that's completed in confirmation. So, you know, I don't want to sound negative about that, but in our tradition, we just leave the baptism completely until a person is old enough to make that choice, because God gives us freedom. We have a loving God who loves us and gives us freedom. But the story goes on. Not long after that, the young son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. Freedom doesn't mean we make good choices. Freedom often means we make bad choices. And we get ourselves into a mess in various ways. We choose to do those things that are either plain foolish, and sometimes we know are actually wrong. And we make those choices. The young man wasn't where he should have been. He wasn't where he was created to be. He wasn't in the loving place of his family. He was away from that. And the influences which were on him meant that he made some of these choices, and he got into big trouble. And in that context, the story goes on and says, actually, the only thing he could find to do to earn some kind of a living, and it sounds like all he got for it was bored, in other words, somewhere to live, was he actually ended up feeding the pigs and tending for the pigs. But it says that he was so hungry he wanted to eat the pig food, but that's all he could do. So he obviously didn't have money to go and buy food, but he at least had somewhere to stay. And this simply tells us that we can make very bad choices and we can wander off into trouble. And I don't know where you're at this morning, whether you feel your life is what it was intended to be or what you feel it should be. I don't know whether you're actually in trouble or I don't know what it is for you. But we can be in that place that isn't the right place for us. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer to be worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father." And I put a light as the image there. The light came on in his head. "I'm an idiot. What am I doing here? What am I doing here? The guy's at home, not even part of the family, not a son, just the hired servants. They're better off than I am, and I've left that home, and I've left that family, and I've left the love of that father. And here I am, wandering in this foreign land, starving." And he makes a decision. He says, "I'm going to go home. I'm going to head back. I'm going to see if I can just become a servant, a slave in my father's house, because actually he treats them better than I'm being treated here." So he heads off home, and the story, the key step, seeing sense, I put at the top there. Tis, isn't it? It's sometimes very hard to see sense, isn't it? I don't know how you find it, but we can sometimes hang on, can't we, to what we're doing. We don't like seeing sense. But sometimes we have to just break through that one and actually see sense and say, "I'm a fool. I'm just a. I need to get out of here. I need to do that thing that'll put this life right." But whilst you're still a long way off, so that this son is walking back to his house, whilst he's still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. His father is looking out for this son to come. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The story actually goes on with a bit of narrative about the son actually coming up was with his pre-prepared speech. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it." That's their little freezer supply of special food for the feast. "Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's feast. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. God, because the father in this figure is God. God is waiting for us. God isn't looking on our lives, longing to condemn us for the things we get wrong. God's looking on your life and my life, longing to say, "I want you back. I just want you to see sense, and I want you to be able to turn around, and I want to give you that dignity and that life that carpenter in Lampedusa spoke of. I want to give you dignity in life. I want you back. I don't want to condemn you. I want you back in my family, in home, living as you should." God will welcome you home. Any of us who turns and comes back to God, God will welcome us home. God will welcome us home. That's his promise. And this is the story Jesus tells about what the Father's love is like for you and for me. There's a bit more to that story. There's another brother. The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. And the story explains how the elder brother comes and he hears the celebration. And he says to the servant, "What on earth's going on?" And the servant said, "Your brother's come back and your father's delighted. And he's killed a fatted calf." And the elder brother's really cross about this. And so the father goes out and to try and reason with him. And he says, "Look, we had to celebrate because your brother was dead and he's alive again. He's back with us." And the older brother said, "Listen, I've worked all my life here and I've done all this and I've done that and I've done the other, and you've never even given me a goat to have a party with." And he says, "When this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. It's not fair." And of course the father said, "Well, actually, you've been in the house. You could have done it any time you like. It's all yours to enjoy." And I just want to say here that I don't know where you come from or what your experience has been, but I do know that for some people, they've encountered religion and religious people, and you haven't found the sort of love that God shows here, and you haven't found the sort of acceptance that God gives here. And I want to tell you that that don't judge God by his people always, because we're not perfect, that God loves you. And I trust that if you came to this church, I trust that if you bared your heart, you'd find you'd be accepted here and loved here. Don't be put off by those people, like that older brother. You know, there's an interesting parallel, isn't there, between what Jesus is saying and this man here. Here's his statement: "I wish this cross would give you dignity and the freedom just to live." You know, I know in my life, I'm very, very confident that that God's given me a dignity and a freedom to live that I wouldn't have had without him. Friends who are here regularly know this well, but my own story is I found faith in Christ as a very small child. I went through my childhood and my teenage years as a Christian person, but I also went through those years with dyslexia, with real problems in school, at a time when it wasn't understood. And I had some very, very, very bad treatment through school by teachers and by the pupils. And from what I know, I did a psychology degree, and from what I know in studying these areas, I know that particularly when it's not understood, people get broken up and wrecked by that kind of treatment through school. I'm utterly convinced that my dignity and my life has been kept because I knew that God loved me through all those years, and God had a purpose for my life, and I wasn't valuable or not valuable because of what somebody said about me. God kept my dignity and my worth. You know, and there's a range of other stories I could tell. My wife, she has an interesting story, because I came to Christian as a very small child, but she came as a Christian in the middle of her 20s, and she had wanted to become an actress, and it was in the days when you couldn't act unless you had an equity card. Do you remember those days? No, some of you are too young, of the closed shop, and you had to have your union card to do it. And she had to teach for 4 years before she could get into a company that could give her an equity card, and she could teach. And she got there, and she thought, "Wow, when I get here, then I will be fulfilled." And she got there, and she found she wasn't fulfilled. And she thought, "There's still something missing here." And it was in finding Jesus and finding the dignity and worth which came through Jesus that she found that place of fulfillment and peace. You know, we've got a story from this building itself. Very early in our time here, a gentleman was going past here and saw this brand new building about 8 years ago now, and came in and said, "There's something interesting going on here. What's going on here?" And somebody showed him around the building. And it turned out that that he had just broken through in his business about 4 years before, and they'd hit a niche in their market, and they'd become wealthy. And he had his cars, and he had his houses, and he had those things going well for him. And he was at that point in life where he was going, saying, "Well, I've got it all, but is that it? Is that all there is?" And he came in here, and he found folk who could explain to him about Jesus. And he gave his life to Jesus eventually. And he has a different set of values and a different perspective on life now still a successful businessman. You know, we don't have to be refugees running away from war to need to find the dignity and worth that we're given by Jesus. And I don't know what your position in life is. I don't know where you stand with these truths. You may very well be here simply because you've got a loyalty to Josie and you want to be here for Josie's sake. And thank you for that. But actually, this religious stuff isn't something which you've ever wanted to take seriously. We respect your choices in those things. But I'd just like you to hear this truth, that Jesus wants to give us that dignity and that worth and that life. The statement of Jesus, very interesting how it echoes that statement of that man in Lampedusa. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, life to the full. Josie's going to be baptized in a moment, and in that baptism she's going to say, Lord, there's things about the life that I could be living that I don't want to be part of. That life has gone. And for some folk here, maybe who are older, maybe there'll be a very much more real sense of there are things I've messed up on and I want to put those behind me. And then she comes out of the water, she's going to be saying, actually, I want to be living this new life following you. Those are choices Josie's already made. The water doesn't make a difference. But those choices that Josie has made that are saying, I want to follow Jesus, I want to live my life, because I know that actually being in the Father's household, being there within his love and his care, within his wisdom, is the place to be. And I would ask you, if you haven't discovered that yet, I would ask you to consider Jesus and the dignity in life he wants to give you. Let me pray for us briefly. I'm going to pray a very simple prayer that is the sort of thing that anyone can say any time, just to return from that place away from God to that place within God's love and God's will and purpose. And it's not even, they're not magic words. It's whether it's what's on your heart, because God knows what's on our heart. But let me just pray this simple prayer. Father God, we recognize that our lives aren't the way they should be, and we're not living our lives the way it should be lived. And we recognize some of the consequences of that. We recognize we're far from you. And Lord, we want to come back to you. We want to be in your love. We want to know what it is to be cared for by you and have that dignity and that life that you give. And we thank you that in Jesus, particularly in his death and resurrection for us, we can receive that place within you and within your love. And we offer ourselves to you now. We make that decision to get up from where we are and to turn around and walk to you and give ourselves to you as our loving Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.